You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rig website for posts from Adam King. He's got some great articles up there. Also, make sure to check it out for prior podcasts and my Twitter account, at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. I have prior podcasts and stories for basketball there as well. Today, have on a very special guest. He writes and edits the SB Nation Celtics blog page. Nicholas, thank you so much for joining the show and for talking a little Celtics basketball with us today.
Hey, Colton, my pleasure, man. This will be a lot of fun. Anytime I can talk hoops, good time of year for us to talk.
Exactly. So much going on. We've got the NBA playoffs really kicking into full gear here with the East and Western Conference Finals, and we have all the draft coverage going on, so checking out prospects, watching NBA playoff games, just a perfect time of year for hoops, and especially if you're a Boston Celtics fan, a really great time of year because you are up 3-2 in a series against LeBron James, and you're doing it without your all-stars. You have Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward out for this series, and you're still being led by guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. These guys are the stars of your team right now, and you still have talent going to come in next year. What's kind of the atmosphere in the city of Boston right now around this Celtics team?
It's electric, man. I mean, everybody is talking Celtics right now, and the streets are filled with green. Everybody's wearing their Celtics jerseys, and feels like 08 all over again. I mean, it's not the same cast of characters. Obviously, you don't have the star power, but it's almost more special because you don't have that star power. You don't have, KG and Paul Pierce, these, you know, Hall of Famers. You're talking about guys that are rookies and 22-year-olds that are just playing with heart and grit and kind of being, you know, allowing their really believing in their coach and the front office. And it is what basketball should be, I think. I sound like a homer, but you don't see that often in the NBA anymore.
What is the difference between the feeling around this team and last year's team? Obviously, this team is up in the playoffs against the Cavaliers. This team looks like it actually is going to beat the Cavaliers. But what's the difference between kind of the vibe in the city around a team that's led by young guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, as opposed to guys like Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder?
In the city, I mean, everybody loved IT. Isaiah was loved here. Mm-hmm. He was great in the community. He was out and about a lot, you know. He mingled in with ordinary people, you know. And I think there was a real love for that team, an affinity for it. This team, it's less loosey-goosey. It's more all business. And I think fans are every day or every game shocked when there's a win. I mean, I know every time I'm talking to anybody, I'm talking like outside of the locker room, you know, just casual fans, you know, it's game night. They're like, oh, they're going to drop it tonight. There's no way LeBron's going to let, you know, and then it's a home game. They win. And it's just unbelievable. Pleasantly surprised. But there's this overriding sense of anticipation of how this what could be a championship contending team is going to look next year when their superstars are back. So there's people are excited about the moment, but I think the fans in general are viewing this as almost like house money. It's a treat.
Yeah.
Next year, it's like what the hell can happen next year? You know, I mean, how are we going to play? How are the Celtics going to play all these cast of characters that are contributing in a big way right now, that some of them are going to have to take a back seat next year?
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely interesting to see how that is going to play out. Exciting times in Boston for sure with all the young talent they have. Perfect mix of young talent and veteran all-stars on the roster right now. Let's get into some of these games here. Game 5, Boston Celtics won 96-83, again in Boston. You have Jason Tatum with 24 points. We'll get to him in a little bit here. Jaylen Brown with 17. How important has it proven to be that the Boston Celtics really find their offense in the first quarter of these games? Because they were up 32-19 on Cleveland in the first quarter. In Cleveland, they had a couple slow starts, most notably game four, where they outscored the Cleveland Cavaliers in every quarter except the first quarter and still lost that game. How important are these first quarters turning out to be?
Oh, man. I mean, the first 5 minutes of the first and third quarter have been the most important for both teams. I mean, it seems like the teams that are getting out fast are controlling it throughout. I've never seen, I mean, going back to the 80s, I mean, I do go back that far. I'm an old man, but, you know, I haven't seen home court advantage mean that much since back then. When the Celtics were winning, you know, 41 home games in a season. The first and third quarters have kind of set the tone. And for, if you're talking about it from a Celtics standpoint, they cannot, in game six at least, they cannot allow the Cavs to go out to a big lead and then try to dig out of a hole. It's just not going to work. It worked against Philadelphia, but I think Boston seeing game three and four, especially three, because they made some good adjustments in four and played half decent, I think they realize now how important it is to get out to an early, at least stand even with the Cavs through the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Because they could play, they could duke it out, but if they, you know, if it's shot for shot, but if it's going to be, and their defense allows them to do that, but if it's going to be, you know, try to dig out from behind and you're in the queue, I mean, that's going to be very, very, very difficult, very difficult.
And you're already playing against a guy with the stats of LeBron James in the playoffs, so you definitely don't want to give these young guys any less behind the eight ball. How encouraging was it for you to watch the Celtics win this game when Terry Rozier had a road game like performance? He shot 3 of 15 and had 8 points. This was definitely a road Terry kind of game.
Yeah, I love all the Terry nickname, Scary Terry, Road Terry, Home Terry, Garden Terry. I just want Terry to be able to make switches and play a little defense. I don't want to necessarily focus on his poor play in Game 5 as much as I'd like to focus on Jason Tatum's positive play, because if Tatum and Brown can contribute and Al Horford can remain steady, make a difference, the ball flows through Al. He doesn't necessarily have to get up 15 shot attempts. It's just got to touch his hands. Terry becomes more of a specialist at that point, who could kind of come in and hit the big three, where you're not depending on him to fill Kyrie Irving's shoes, which, you know, there was talk here in Boston, of course, the media here is so fickle, maybe we don't need Kyrie, but certainly you do, and I think that road games and game five proved that, you know, Terry Rozier, he's a talented guy, he's a great teammate, he should be a starting point guard at some point. But he's still young, and the road still gets to him, and some of the pressure still gets to him a little bit.
Well, if you guys don't want Kyrie Irving, the Timberwolves will be more than happy to take him off your hands for very cheap.
No, I don't think anybody doesn't want him. I just think that the Boston media is fickle, man. Like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they start playing well, and it's been that way for years, you know. They say, oh, well, maybe we don't need this guy. Okay, come on. You're talking about a top 10 player.
Hey, I'm just making sure you guys know you have options is all I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, but thanks. I appreciate the offer. The other thing is Kyrie set the tone. He played just enough games, first of all, to get them that number two seed in the East where, you know, they carried number one seed in the East for most of the season. That 16-game win streak after Hayward went down really gave them a nice cushion to where they could hold on to at least a second seed. But he, more importantly, set the tone in the locker room. I mean, you mentioned Isaiah Thomas. The difference in those two locker rooms is absolutely insane, because in last year's team, it was very loosey-goosey, you know, very, very it was a fun locker room. I mean, it was CLNS Media, that's the company that I own that feeds content to Celtics blog. We would look at an Isaiah Thomas presser and say, oh, this is like, you'd be wringing your hands together because he'd always say something, you know. This locker room has been all business, and Kyrie Irving set that tone that we are here to contend, and that tone has carried over through the playoffs, even without Kyrie, although he's been present for at least all the home games.
Yeah, extra impressive, that kind of tone with the youth on this team.
I've never seen anything like it, Colton. I mean, I was talking to Jeff Goodman yesterday. We both agree. I mean, this is the most impressive rookie since Larry Bird. You're talking 40 years. 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so think about that. And you're talking about not only 40 years, but a good 22 years of mediocre basketball where the Celtics should have had great picks. I mean, they got Paul Pierce out of it. But I think Tatum's – what he's shown – right now, with his readiness, ability to step in for Hayward immediately and make an impact, no one has made that kind of an impact in green as a rookie since Larry Bird. I'll stand by it.
We're going to talk more about Jason Tatum, and we're going to talk about the rest of the series going forward. But first, we got to take a quick break for some sponsors. The Boston Celtics lead the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. They are up 3-2, headed back to Cleveland for game 6 tonight. Nick, we were talking about Jason Tatum a little bit before the break, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about this impressive rookie. The thing I was worried about from a Boston standpoint looking at this series going into it was that it didn't really seem like they had that guy like Kyrie Irving where you could just trust him to either own a spot of offense for 8 minutes, just own a period of offense for 8 minutes, or there wasn't a guy that could make those big shots time and time again that they could consistently go to every single time they needed a big shot. Jason Tatum has kind of turned into that guy, has he not?
Yeah, I mean, he's still a rookie, but the fact that he just – wants the ball. I mean, what we saw in game 5 was he was waving people off when he had a mismatch. I mean, you're talking about a rookie here. I mean, he was just in control of the situation, in control of his body, drawing fouls. I mean, could have drew more fouls if he wasn't a rookie, probably. Just uber smart. And I don't know necessarily that he, especially on the road, that he's the guy that you describe in Kyrie, the guy who can kind of hit the big shot to quiet the crowd under pressure. But he's certainly been used in that go-to role. I mean, Brad Stevens must have went to him the first 5 plays of game 5, which is the biggest game of the series, obviously. I don't know what else. We had a segment come out on Celtics blog and on CLNS. You know, what more can you say about Jason Tatum? Because it's so overdone. It's the same thing over and over. This kid is just going to be a superstar. And what is telling is, as much as we love Paul Pierce in Boston, to have his ego come out and say, look at this dude, will win more championships than the entire all-rookie team combined, says a lot. And I think it says a lot not just about the situation he's in Boston, but his ability to lead in that situation, even when Kyrie and Gordon come back. I mean, he's going to be the number 3 option. There's no question. You know, it's remarkable, Colton. I've not seen anything like it. I've been covering the NBA for 11 years, and I've been watching it my entire life, like I said, since the 80s. And, you know, with the exception of kind of like, you know, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Kevin Durants, there haven't been many guys out there that make that kind of impact immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and pick it up here.
And you're talking about this being the third option, and you still got Jaylen Brown, excuse me, who is going to be an all-star as well, a couple-time all-star as well on the roster. So this is going to be just one of the more impressive rosters next season when you get these guys
back. Let me ask you, Colton, how many years does this – first of all, we know Trader Dan's going to make changes, so you can't necessarily say this exact roster, but how many years you know, some variation of this roster contend for championships?
Oh,
10 years?
I would say easily 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Easily, because you got a bunch of guys, you're veterans right now, if you're not counting Al Horford, if you're just saying Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward are going to be kind of your all-star veterans for the next few years, those guys are just entering their peak. And obviously Al Horford's a little older, but the main structure of this team in Irving, Hayward, Brown, Tatum, those are all super young guys. So you're going to be able to run this back over and over again for a lot of years.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I ask you because, obviously, you know, we cover the team, and as much as I'm not one of those guys who says, oh, you know, I have no bias. Of course I have a little bit of bias. I have my life invested into this team. So to hear it coming from a T-Wolves guy, you know, it helps.
Yeah, well, and this is the model that we were kind of going for here with the young guys and then bringing in guys like Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, some older guys to stabilize the young talent. This is kind of what we were going for. And then you have Andrew Wiggins fall off a cliff after the max deal again. So, you know what? Not everybody can do it as well as the Boston Celtics. But this is the model that people are doing or trying to go for because it's working.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, was it a couple years ago, the year I think Al Horford and the Hawks got swept by the Cavs. There was all that talk, no star on the team, and maybe Philly in 2012. But those teams, you know, and that's comparable to what's happening right now with the Celtics. And the Celtics are going far. But you add in Irving and Hayward and whatever else Danny is going to add to the equation as we go forward. And with LeBron getting a bit older, I mean, that's the one thing. How many LeBron series have we seen? I mean, he's never looked as gassed as he did in Game 5. So is age starting to catch up just a little bit, or is it frustration? I guarantee you probably next year there'll be a column that comes out that says he was sick in Game 5. I don't know, but, you know, there's always an excuse with LeBron. But he's obviously very far from leaving departing the level of play he's playing right now, but starting to show a little cracks in the armor in regards to how much he can carry a team on his back, because he looked gassed in Game 5. I'm real curious to see how he looks tonight. Their whole team looks tonight, having really one day break in between. We'll see.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. Is there a concern factor for you, just as somebody who loves watching Boston Celtics basketball, is there a concern factor of if the Celtics play kind of like the road Celtics that they've played throughout this series and they get to a Game 7, is there a concern factor about a LeBron Game 7 that's just monster performance?
Yeah, I keep having nightmares about it. I mean, I covered Game 6 in 2012.
Exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, that was a different team. The Celtics were clearly, they were the older team then. They were the ones struggling, and there was a real lot of contention in that locker room that people didn't even know about at the time. But LeBron just turned superhuman that night. And I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. It wasn't one of those games where you could say, okay, you know, 50 foul calls, LeBron's on the line a million times. He just dominated without any help from the officials. He just had that look on his face. I've not seen that throughout this series. I mean, he had some good games, but Game 7 with LeBron James on the other side of the court, I'm having a hard time picking the Celtics. But Colton, I got a full disclosure here. I have been wrong about every single prediction I've made with these Celtics since Kyrie Irving went down. Really, since Hayward went down. I was there opening night. We did our post-game report on the court at the Q, and we were trying to say, like, well, how many games can this team win? I said maybe they'll be 500. I mean, that's a gut reaction after a really gruesome injury. But I've been wrong all season long, so I wouldn't put too much faith in a prediction for Game 7 to go to the Cavs coming from me, but I could certainly see nightmares of that Game 6 6 years ago.
No, and I definitely understand being wrong and underestimating this team. As somebody who bet on the Celtics in that first game, there was a lot of remorse for me there as well. But, they've been impressive all the way through, and it has definitely turned out to be one of the best series this postseason, this Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers series. Hopefully your Celtics can pull this out and give us a little bit of a fresh team in the NBA Finals this year. Before we head out, anything that you need to plug, you can do so here, Nick.
Oh, I appreciate that, Colton. It's not necessary, but of course I'll take the opportunity. Follow me on Twitter, at CLNS underscore Nick. The name of our company is CLNS Media. Check us out, clnsmedia.com. We're partners with Celtics Blog. We handle all their audiovisual content, so check us out there as well. And keep listening to all of David Locke's shows on Locked On Network, because you guys do great, great, great work. And David's a great guy, and so are you, Colton. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it. Always good to have on some Boston media on the show. We always enjoy it. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.